breaking news. At least one person killed and nearly a dozen children injured in a mass shooting at a Super Bowl celebration. What we're learning about the suspects. Plus, caught on camera, Kansas City fans tackling someone after shots rang out. Then, an organized crime group linked to car break-ins at local popular trails. How police say they caught the man charged and his ties to similar crimes in multiple states.
Enjoy the lovely warm-up. I'm tracking a cold front set to drop temperatures. When to break out the jackets and who could see scattered rain for the weekend.
Here is the latest now breaking at 7 o'clock. At least 22 people are hurt, including nearly a dozen that are children, following a fatal shooting at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl celebration.
In the last 30 minutes, we learned three people are now in custody in connection with this scary situation that sent so many people running for safety. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. We also just found out at least seven of the people injured. These are life-threatening injuries as we're taking we have a live look of where it all unfolded not too long ago. Our Chris Lovingood monitoring all of this from the WREL Live Center. Chris.
Dan, actually, this is that live look you're talking about. Or actually, this is a recording. We'll have that live look in just a bit. But this is when people were there after the shooting aftermath there. I actually had a moment to sit and listen to the press conference as we heard it unfold. As you mentioned, one person has died, but a total of 22 people had been shot. At least seven people with life-threatening conditions there, and six people who only had minor injuries. And police also mentioned something about a person who apparently had a video of someone being tackled at some point during it. She says right now that police are currently looking into that to get more information. As we now know, three people total have been detained. But I want you to listen to the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, who was there when it happened and said, as a person who spoke from the perspective of someone who ran, this was something that truly upset him.
We had over 800 officers there, staffed, situated all around Union Station today. We had security in any number of places, eyes on top of buildings and beyond. And there still is a risk to people.
Now, one other thing that I took from that press conference, they say they have recovered firearms, but investigators have not said the specific number that they did manage to get. And they also mentioned that the Children's Hospital in that area did accept patients, but it's not quite clear the ages of the people that they had taken into it. So that's something that we're still working on here in the WREL Live Center, Dan and Ashley. Certainly something that has just rattled that community there and even nationwide on a day-to-day, if I'm not mistaken, is the six-year anniversary of the Parkland shooting as well.
Yeah, a lot of people rattled by this tonight. Chris, let us know what else you find out. Thank you.
Right now at 7, a man accused of breaking into cars at popular trail parking lots in our area may be connected to an organized crime group called the Felony Lane Gang. Deputies say Simone Slaughter stole items from cars at both Hollow Rock Nature Park and Brumley Nature Preserve in Orange County. He's wanted for similar crimes in at least three other states, South Carolina, Virginia, and Georgia. WREL's Eric Miller explains what else he's accused of.
The Orange County Sheriff's Office says Slaughter might have gotten away with it if a deputy hadn't caught him in the act. This was back on February 6th. That deputy pulling in here to the Brumley Forest Preserve and catching Slaughter standing at the back window of an SUV. That deputy then saw Slaughter jump away from that vehicle, get into another one, but he was arrested and taken into custody.
The sheriff's office says when they took Slaughter into custody, he had a glass breaker, multiple bank cards with different versions of his name, three cell phones, and Florida and Georgia driver's licenses. And the ties to other states don't stop there. The Orange County Sheriff's Office says Slaughter is wanted for similar crimes in at least three other states, and that the thefts resemble those committed by the Felony Lane Gang, which has attracted national attention, including from the FBI, for a multi-year string of vehicle break-ins, bank card and identity thefts.
Oh man, I'm glad he's caught.
The first vehicle break-in happened February 4th at the Hollow Rock Nature Preserve. A tote bag, wallet, ID, and credit and debit cards were taken just minutes after the victim parked their car at the trailhead. The sheriff's office says security video pointed them to Slaughter's vehicle, which a deputy spotted at Brumley Forest on the 6th.
This was a week ago. A neighbor of mine this happened to.
Twin sisters Jeanette Stein and Amelia Drake say after multiple close calls, they always take precautions when leaving their car at the trailhead.
Well, years ago, it happened to one of our sisters in another state, so neither of us carries cash or leaves cash or computers or any electronics in our car.
Slaughter did post a $20,000 bond. He's due back in court on March 22nd. And the Orange County Sheriff's Office, they say if something like this has happened to you, maybe you had your car broken into, a couple of things taken, you just didn't report it, they do still want to hear from you, as this does remain an active investigation. In Orange County, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
Investigators are trying to figure out what caused a house fire in Raleigh that sent this massive plume of smoke up into the air. Sky 5 over the scene. This is a home on Old Creedmoor Road. A woman and her adult grandson were inside the home when that fire started. Luckily, both of them were able to escape to safety. Agencies from multiple counties responded to this.
A Wake Forest man is charged with killing his sister and assaulting his mother. Edmund Eady, in the middle here, is being held on no bond and will appear in court for the first time tomorrow. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan spoke with a neighbor who shared more about this family and what he witnessed at the scene.
A quiet street in Wake Forest, now the scene of an unspeakable crime.
Saw the sirens and police cars outside, wondering what the heck is kind of taking place.
When Wake Forest police rushed to this home, they came upon a grim discovery.
Nothing saying he stabbed her to death.
Police and EMS first found 24-year-old Naya Eady dead from stab wounds. Then police found 47-year-old Dina Eady suffering from non-life-threatening stab wounds as well.
Multiple stab wounds to the chest, face, defensive wounds on the hands.
Police charged 20-year-old Edmund Eady with the murder of his older sister and attempting to kill his mother, also with a knife.
I don't know what could have caused this or brought it on.
Neighbors who live on Polanski Drive say they are stunned.
Oh, but they're a great family. I've met them before, all very nice, and I'm just kind of shocked by kind of what I'm finding out today.
It is another tragedy for this family. This GoFundMe page shows the family's picture for funeral expenses for the suspect's father, who died less than 2 years ago.
She's been there, single parent. Can't understand how this could have possibly happened.
That's Chelsea Donovan reporting. Eady has no past criminal record.
A Raleigh man who shot and killed a 20-year-old unarmed man in his front yard in 2016 is now asking for a new trial for the second time. The state Supreme Court heard arguments this afternoon in the case of Chad Copley. He was convicted of murder for killing Corin Thomas as he left a house party in Copley's neighborhood. In 2019, an appeals court overturned that conviction, though, and ordered a new trial, saying the trial was tainted by a prosecutor implying racism was a factor. The state's highest court reversed that ruling. Now, Copley's attorney says he deserves a new trial because the jury was misled by bad instructions going into their deliberations.
What he's asking for is a new trial in front of a properly instructed jury so that he has a chance to prove himself innocent.
One of the big questions is whether Copley was protecting his home or if he was lying in wait to attack. Prosecutors argued he provoked a crowd in the street by yelling at them while holding a shotgun. The Supreme Court will now consider the arguments they heard today. There is no time frame for when the justices will issue a ruling.
A challenge today to Duke Energy's proposed new rate hikes. Attorney General Josh Stein is appealing a decision made by the State Utilities Commission to let Duke charge more for people's power bills. Stein says costs would rise by $20 a month for typical North Carolinians and says there's no legitimate reason for the increase. Duke Energy, on the other hand, says it does need the higher rates. A company spokesperson tells WRAL, as North Carolina continues to grow quickly, it needs to keep investing in the state's power grid. Otherwise, service might become less reliable. For more details, go to WRAL.com.
Interim Durham Public Schools Superintendent Caddy Moore and Board Chair Benita Umstead hosted a press conference today about the next steps they're taking there in the district. 4 days now of school have been lost as employees protest pay for classified staff. Umstead says while it's not financially sustainable for the district to keep paying staff at the salary study rate, the board wants everyone to have some kind of raise over the last year. Moore says there is long-term work to be done.
This is not a one-year or a one-moment solution. This is a journey, and it will take several years to get to where we need to get. And that goal line will probably change frequently because what it takes to have a competitive salary and what a living wage look like does not remain static either.
The school board is meeting with the Durham Association of Educators tomorrow. The board's next regular meeting will be next Thursday, where members are expected to vote on a solution to the salary issues.
North Carolina could soon see another expansion of legalized gambling. State lawmakers could vote this year on whether to approve video gambling run by the state lottery. But more casinos are probably not in the cards. Republican State House Speaker Tim Moore said today lawmakers are unlikely to consider expanding casinos in North Carolina during this year's short session. But he said there's more interest in video lottery terminals. Video slots are currently illegal in North Carolina, but gambling parlors are open across the state anyway due to legal challenges. Moore said the state could just legalize them and then put them under the oversight of Lottery Commission. He pointed out that the lottery recently launched video scratch-offs you can play on your phone.
It's kind of like updating the lottery. You already have the lottery. You already have scratch-offs. In fact, you already have those. I think you can play them on your phone right now. So I don't know that it's much of a leap to say we'll then do the video lottery terminals.
Some experts have estimated the state lottery could bring in an additional $1 billion a year through video gambling. Lawmakers could take it up when they return to session in late April.
Still ahead, you can make your voice heard starting tomorrow. Everything you need to know as early voting gets underway in our state coming up. Plus, her new music teaser sent the internet into a frenzy. And now we are learning Beyonce's new single got some star power from a North Carolina native.
And we have lots of ups and downs in the temperature realm to come. I'll have a closer look at where we stand for the weekend forecast coming up.
All righty, let's take a second and go in depth, shall we? Tonight, we want to go in depth into the inbox. A lot of you had a lot to say about our conversation last week on political ads. It is a presidential campaign year, and we all know the avalanche of those ads are on the way. Many of you expressed how annoying this is. Pamela said, thank heavens for DVR. I can't imagine listening to 1 second of any useless, obnoxious, sleazy political ad, hitting all the categories there. Gary said he really enjoyed the segment, writing, you are worth twice your salary. Gary, I appreciate that. If you wanted to forward that message to my bosses, I'm not going to stand in your way. I might even cut you in, Gary. Tom says the segment is growing on him, writing, I thought you were unusual. Think weird. But now I realize you're just being the honest you. See, Tom gets it. That's all I'm trying to do here. Now, that said, I am pretty weird. Trust your instincts. But I work hard to be honest and balanced, and I have all of you to thank to help keeping this segment that way. And speaking of honesty, Ashley wrote in demanding it. She writes, there is a duty to vet all commercials for veracity, period. Lying is not protected under the First Amendment. So first of all, there were a lot of capital letters in that email, and I get it. This subject is frustrating, and actually, you aren't wrong. Some speech must be true. For instance, commercials must be truthful. False advertising is not okay. Coca-Cola can't tell you that their new drink will give you eternal life. That is deceptive language. The FTC regulates that sort of thing. But political ads, they aren't technically commercials. Selling products for profit is not regulated the same way as selling ideas for power. Here is how a UNC professor explained it.
Political speech is different than commercial speech. Sometimes figuring out the line between the two, as you can figure, might not always be that easy. But there is a basic difference in the way the court views restrictions on political speech as opposed to commercial speech.
So basically, yes, lying with the context of a candidate's political ad is protected. I mean, you may not like those rules, but those are the rules. People have challenged those rules for years, and they keep on losing those challenges. In 1972, a Senate candidate in Georgia named J.B. Stoner was a self-proclaimed racist. He used horrible racial slurs in his ads. He said black people wanted to integrate with white people so that they could get white women. The NAACP, they petitioned the FCC to decline to air these ads. The FCC, though, sided with Stoner, citing freedom of speech decisions from the Supreme Court, saying, we are constrained to deny your requests. In 2016, a federal court struck down an Ohio law that tried to ban campaigns from, frankly, spreading false statements. Judge R. Guy Cole Jr. wrote in his decision, "Even false speech receives some constitutional protection." So time and time again, the courts reinforce the freedom of candidates to mislead voters or lie to voters in their ads. So, like it or not, the avalanche is still coming. Keep sending those emails. Your questions and ideas help drive this segment. Send an email to dan@wral.com. We need your perspective to dive into these stories. You know, sometimes the news, we don't see the whole picture. We miss things sometimes. We need you to tell us where our blind spots are. Tell me your thoughts. We'll go in depth. Now, if you ever miss one of my segments on TV, you can always listen to them as a podcast anytime. Just find WRAL In Depth with Dan Haggerty. It's an Apple podcast. It's on Spotify. It's on WRAL.com. It's everywhere. Send it to your friends. Just search podcast.
And Dan, you're not really weird. We like you just the way you are.
Well,
okay?
You're weird, so you would say that.
Hey, early voting for the North Carolina primary starts tomorrow. Voting locations will be open across multiple counties. It runs until March 2nd. If you haven't registered, you can at the polls before you vote. As a reminder, this is the first statewide election where you'll need to bring a photo ID, meaning if you don't have one, you can't vote. If you do need one, you can get one at your local county board of elections. By the way, election day is March 5th. We have all the information you need to know before heading to the polls. Visit WRAL.com or our mobile app to find the WRAL voting guide. There you can find polling location, times, and the candidates on your ballot. Let's get over to meteorologist Kat Campbell with a very Valentine's-y kind of evening out there.
It's beautiful on Western Boulevard, especially with the WRAL Tower lit up in pink tonight to celebrate Valentine's Day and say happy Valentine's Day to you at home. So check it out if you're driving by tonight. A lot of people headed out for date night for Valentine's Day. Temperatures are in the upper 50s right now. We're going to be falling into the mid 40s later on tonight. So it's worth having the extra layer with you. Clear skies will mean chilly temperatures overnight. Lows dip into the mid 30s and then boom, we're right back in the mid 60s tomorrow afternoon. So we go from the 30s in the morning into the mid 60s. About a 30 degree jump in temperatures throughout the day tomorrow. Dress in layers. A beautiful day though to get outside. Ride your bike in the afternoon. Go fly a kite. It's going to be breezy tomorrow. We'll have a southwest wind around 10 miles per hour and that's going to help us warm up. In North Hills tonight, it's a beautiful evening. A lot of people out and about. High pressure is moving offshore, and this is why we have the return of the south wind. You have clockwise flow around high pressure. That's drawing in some warmer air from the southwest. And our next system is set to arrive Friday night. During the day tomorrow, we're nice and dry and sunny as well. Friday will begin to cloud up a bit. Not a total overcast Friday, but mostly cloudy skies possible. And then Friday night, we could see some rain move in. We're talking after midnight through about 8 a.m. Saturday morning. This would only be in the northern half of our viewing area. From the Triangle North, we could see this rain, and then it's out of here for the most part by about 8 a.m. So it's really not going to impact your weekend unless you wake up very, very early on Saturday morning. Because of that, we lowered rain chances to just 20% on Saturday. It just didn't feel right to have the raindrop icon on Saturday when you'd only see the rain before 8 a.m. It'll be partly cloudy through much of the day. High temperatures this weekend are going to be cooling down behind that front, though. Highs will only be in the mid-50s, so definitely feeling more like February this weekend. And a reminder, if you got a great picture of the sunset this evening, go to WRAL.com and search Weather Watchers. Share those with us, and you just may see them on TV. Your seven-day forecast shows some ups and downs ahead. 66 tomorrow, 60 on Friday. Cooler for the weekend with lows back below freezing this weekend. We will have some upper 20s north of the Triangle. And then once we get to next week, we should be back in the 60s for highs. Low temperatures are going to stay in the 30s many mornings, so make sure you still keep the jackets handy. You're just not going to need them all day.
Hey, that's a pretty great forecast. Thanks, Kat.
I feel bad I called you weird.
Don't feel bad.
Are you kidding?
No.
Sometimes.
We're both weird. That's why this works so well.
I know. You're right. Still ahead, North Carolina natives making big waves. Beyonce's new single, they play a part in it. She's playing a role, we'll tell you, coming up.
I'm going to bring you back to the WRAL Live Center for the latest information in that deadly shooting in Kansas City, Missouri. This right here is a live look outside from station KNBC showing you this is the aftermath of what happened there at Union Station in that area. You'll see the crime scene tape is down there and plenty of other things that people have left there, debris from the celebration. I also want to point your attention to this screen right here. This is a statement from the NFL just coming out within the last 30 minutes saying we are deeply saddened by the senseless shooting that occurred today near the end of the rally in Kansas City for the Chiefs. Our thoughts are with the victims and everyone affected. We are grateful for the quick and thorough response of law enforcement and emergency personnel. Do want to leave you with just a quick recap of the elements of this story. One person has died, a total of 22 gunshot wound victims, including seven people with life-threatening injuries. We do know that the Children's Hospital there did accept some patients, but it's unclear exactly how many and the ages of them. And we also know that a total of three people have been detained in this situation.
It's just so sickening, isn't it?
It's going to be a long night for those people.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Today is Ash Wednesday, and one local church offered up ashes to go.
So this morning, Christ the King Lutheran Church in Cary held their eighth annual Ashes to Go event. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent, and today several people were able to get their ashes at the church without leaving their car. The ashes on the forehead in the shape of the cross symbolizes the need for God's grace and mercy. Church leaders say this event has become a tradition in the area. The church also held two Ash Wednesday masses tonight. And as we were saying before, they became very popular during the pandemic.
Yep, exactly.
A musician from North Carolina plays a key role in the new Beyoncé single.
Two-time Grammy winner Ryan and Giddens played the banjo in the first 15 seconds of Texas Hold'em. Giddens said she learned her performance was featured on the track on Monday morning, just hours after Beyoncé sent the music world into a frenzy with the announcement of a new album. It's the first song off her new country-inspired record, Act Two, her eighth studio album scheduled for release March 29th. Beyoncé teased the new music in a great Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, I love the idea that somebody has so much great work out there floating around with different artists that they're not even red flagged. Hey, you're
great
on the
point.
Beyoncé song.
Yeah, exactly. Right? As if they found out after it was released.
I thought maybe she was looking at her bank statement and said, why is it so big now? Holy cow.
Great point.
Thanks for joining us tonight here on WRAL News.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.